Good morning. Today's daf and gittin is chaf. We are starting a New Testament base. We thank Phil Zimmerman for sponsorship of today's daf. Today's daf is learning Zeich Nishmas, Hinda Bracha Bas, Yitzchak Asher, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Okay. We are in the Gemara now discussing Siva, the writing of the get. The Torah says Vakasav Law. So, as we all know, once the Torah talks about Siva, so we are going to go now into our strictly legal mode of knowing what is Iksiva, what exactly is Iksiva. So yesterday we opened up with the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the top of your Testament Aleph goes over that you have to be writing it out with permanent ink. Right now our focus is primarily on the ink, but we also talked about the actual Mais Iksiva, the act of writing. So that means to say now that the permanent ink has to be on that paper and you have to be seeing the writing. All this seems to be pretty obvious, but once the Torah gives us instructions of the custom of law, so therefore, we launch into a lengthy description of what exactly is considered a ksiva, what is not considered a ksiva. Over the course of yesterday, so we spoke about various writings, writing stencil, writing over a stencil, right, black on red, red on black. So those were a number of discussions that we had. We then went off topic yesterday a little bit, going over exactly when you have a shtar and you don't have agreement between the text of the shtar and the signatures of the shtar. Let's say they're in different languages. Would that be acceptable? Would that not? Let's say that you were read the shtar, but you yourself didn't read the shtar. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? So that was a little bit of a tangent that we went through yesterday. But meanwhile, today we continue. We are now starting with Amar Shmuel. Amar Shmuel can be found in the Gemara, your Testament Beis, about two-thirds of the way down on the Amud, right? The word starts with the words lo kamash malan, and then Amar Shmuel, we're going to be starting with the statement of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel nasan laniyar chalak, v'amar la harezikitech megureshes chayshinan shema b'mei milin ksavo. Okay, so you hand her a blank piece of paper and you say, here's your get. And I know, this is strange. It's what a strange way to start off a daf today. And you hand her a get and it's blank, and you say, this is your get. So it is the gerushin is a gerushin. Why? Chayshin and shemei shema b'mei milin ksavo. Because what you did is you may have used a ink made up of golnut. Now I already described yesterday that for the last 1500 years, the inks were made using golnut. Golnut was the right. It's a what do we describe it this morning? A plant excretion,
oak tree extract.
Right? An oak tree extract. Okay, whatever the case is, it's what's it called? It's animal mineral or. It's organic, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, so golnut is the ingredient of choice that was used to make ink for the last 1500 years, and even before 1500 years ago, the Gemara is describing the usage of golnut. The Gemara was edited 1500 years ago, but this is going back for almost 2000 years. So for a long time now, we've been using golnut. And over here, this particular ink, the golnut ink, that the Gemara is describing over here, it almost gives like a transparent image. In other words, especially if the paper is treated. Okay, you'll also remember, this is going to come up again today, and that is that before they wrote on their paper, the paper was treated with golnut juice. Okay, so now, we'll get to that in just a moment. So now, I got paper treated with golnut juice, and now I'm running with golnut ink. And so basically, now it's the same color. So I'm writing with the ink that happens to have the same color as the paper. And Shmuel now says that if the man hands his wife a get and says, here it is, and she's looking at it, and she can't read it, so Shmuel comes up with a psak that is very interesting. The gerushin is a gerushin, chayshinan, shema b'mei milin ksavo, because we're worried that maybe the ink that was used is the same color as the paper. At this point in time, so you have to be wondering, that's really good? So Meisve, the Gemara immediately challenges, Arezikitech una talaso zakta liyam. Ola or, ola chol davar ha'aved. So, let's say the get was given in front of Edim, and he says the words, Arezikitech, this is your get. And now, what's the halacha? Well, I'm sorry, before we get to the halacha. And then what happened? And that is that the woman takes it and she throws it into the ocean, she throws it into the fire, or she basically throws it to the place where it no longer to be discovered. She wasn't happy receiving the get. Okay, putting the drama aside right now. So we never saw the get after it was handed to her. So Ochazav Amar Sharpasim Hu, or alternatively, after the get was handed to her. So then it was then he said, you know, it was some other contract, shtar pasim, shtar amana. Okay, shtar pasim, shtar amana are other types of contracts. I'm not going to go right now and describe what kinds of contracts they are. They're, but basically, if you may, modernization of the Gemara would be, let's say, I gave you the phone bill, or I gave you the electric bill. So migureshes, in any one of those cases, the gerushin is good. Velokol amen alosrai, and just because she wants to now, she wants to dispose of the get after it was given to her. Okay, right. It's not going to change the fact that she was given a get. Now, time of dika ksav. Now we're presuming the following over here, and that is that there was ksav on the paper, and now we don't have the evidence anymore. We don't have the actual physical evidence anymore. But there was ksav on the paper. I like a ksav lo. But if he handed her a blank piece of paper, and then afterwards she disposed of the evidence, she burned it, she threw it into the ocean, and now she wants to argue, I wasn't given a get, but there was no writing on it. So do you think for a moment that this is going to be, it's going to qualify as a get? In other words, it can't possibly be. So ki kamar shmul debat kinale b'may denara. So I palit palivi lo palit lav klamu. So the Gemara says, well, Shmuel was not talking about Stami gave her a blank piece of paper. Because if you gave her a blank piece of paper, and then with the claim and the argument that, yeah, I wrote on this piece of paper, I used Maymilan on this piece of paper. So the Gemara says, if that's really just the claim by itself, and I have nothing else substantiating that claim, obviously it's nothing. It's nothing. What we're describing over here is the following, and that is that you handed her a blank piece of paper. And but in other words, your argument is that it's not a blank piece of paper. I wrote with ink. So the Gemara says, and how now do I know it? I know it because what we were able to do is that we're able to treat the get afterwards. We're not talking about the case where she disposed of it. The get is still here. The physical get is still here. And then we treated it. The Gemara over here describes Maya Denara. Okay, whatever the treatment is. We treated the get afterwards, and what that did is it revealed the letters, meaning he was right. We wrote with a funny ink on the paper, and now with the get being treated after it was given to her, it was proven and discovered that yeah, he's right. It was written. Now the Gemara says, and Phil, this is your point that you made earlier. I didn't ignore it. V'chi palit mayhavi hashu de palit. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So now with this treatment that we just gave the get, and now the letters come out. So the Gemara says, okay, so what? In other words, if at the time of the writing of the get, the letters were not there, meaning they were not, when I say not there, they were not evident. They were not legible. And only afterwards, post-treatment, the letters now appear. That means nothing. When you give her the get, the letters must be legible at the time when you give it to her. So the Gemara says, Shmuel nami chayshin and kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you read Shmuel carefully, Shmuel did not say that the get is absolutely a valid get. What Shmuel said is, possibly. Possibly the get's going to be a good get. Meaning right now, with the treatment, the letters were legible. When he gave it to her, were the letters legible? Maybe. All Shmuel's saying is maybe. We know that the get was written. We know that the ink at the time after she received the get, sometime afterwards, we know that the letters were not legible. And then we treated the paper and then the letters came out. The letters became pronounced after we treated it. It could be that at the time that she was given the get, the letters were also pronounced. And then soon thereafter it faded. And then with the treatment, the letters then became pronounced once again. All this could be. All Shmuel's saying is, as long as it's within the realm of possibility, so now we're looking about Suffolk Gerushin. And then Suffolk Gerushin, obviously. Yeah, right. Perfect. Right. Suffolk Gerushin now opens the door to a number of possibilities, meaning it's possible she's divorced. It's possible she's not. Right. And it, in other words, problems abound. Yeah. Problems abound. So what you would need, let's say it like this. I'll say it simple because, right, the Suffolk Gerushin is problematic. The most pressing nafkamina would be the following, and that is that after giving such a get and nothing else was done, and then he dies, and there was a brother, so are we going to do the mitzvah of Yibam, yes or no? And the answer is yes or no, right? In other words, that's what Suffolk Gerushin is going to lead us to the conclusion, yes or no. Well, you can't do Yibum because it could be that she's a Grusha. And if she's a Grusha, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And now we're talking about Eishasach, which is Nisra Daraisa. On the other hand, if she's not Megureshes, there's a mitzvah Daraisa of Yibum and she has a Zika. So everyone now can guess what would be the solution. Chalitza and no Yibum. Okay.
Before Shmuel says Kashina, he says Megureshet. He's poskeming mit Suffolk.
Yes.
That Suffolk Gershon is still Gershon.
Right. So the wording of Shmuel for sure is confusing. Absolutely. So and that's why the Gemara thought for a moment that what he meant was is that there was definitely Gerushin. And the Gemara's clarification in Shmuel is that no, it's not definitely Gerushin, means Chayshinan. But you're right though. The way he phrases it is definitely misleading. Right? Harezikitech Migureshes. Right? That sounds very definitive. Amar Avin Amar Le'amemar. We're continuing in the Gemara when you're still in your Testament base. Amar Avin Amar Le'amemar. Hachi Amar Merimar Mishmei de Ravdimi Hani Beitrei. The Avgita Kamayu Tzrich Le'mikrei. Okay. So, we're now describing the Eid de Mesira. So, in terms of the giving of the get over to the wife, there has to be Eid de Mesira. We go back to a machlokas that is really the cornerstone of our Mesachta, and that is what's creating the krisus, what's creating the severance between husband and wife. So, it's either the Eid de Chasim or the Eid de Mesira. It's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, and this is the point that we go over many times. But, right now, we don't even have to know that much. I mean, we do need to know that, but right now, we just need to know that the get is going to be handed over from him to her in front of two witnesses. And those two witnesses need to be reading the get prior to the handing over. And that's what we just learned together. So the Hani Beitrei, these two, meaning the Edim, the Yahiv Gita Kamayu, where the get is going to be given in front of them, Tzricha Lemikre. So they must be reading the get. Obviously, the reading of the get is going to be done prior to the get being delivered from him to her. Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, let's take a look at a brisa together. Okay, so again, we're going to go back to the brisa that we already saw, but now we get to see it again in lieu of what we just learned together. And that was, is that she was handed the get, and then she threw into the fire, she threw into the ocean, she just simply got rid of it, the actual physical get itself, and then right after the physical get was destroyed, he said, you know, what I handed you wasn't a get. It was a bill. It was whatever. It was some other note. So, lo kol heimenu la'osra. So, at this point in time, the get was given. She's a divorced woman. In other words, we're not going to give her the status of being a married woman again. So, the Gemara says, I don't even understand. Meaning, if the halacha you just said is correct, which we're assuming it is, that before the get is handed over to her, so first the Eid Mesira must be reading the get, and then it's handed over to her, so then how can a claim even be made? Now, granted, in the Brisa we say we ignore the claim, but how can the claim even be made? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how it could have been made, and that is that the get was read. After the get was read by the Eidim, it was handed back to the husband. It has to be, because he has to give it to her, v'nasan la. And before he gives it to her, what does he do? A little sleight of hand. He says, hold on one second. He takes the piece of paper, he puts it in his, under his jacket, and then he takes out his piece of, he takes out his hand once again. Maybe for that moment, right? We've all seen magic tricks. Maybe in that moment of sleight of hand, maybe he swapped it out for another piece of paper. And the Gemara says, now we can understand at least why it would be that a claim like that could be made. Again, the Brisa says we're going to ignore it, but at least we understand now how the claim could even have been made. Okay, the Gemara now tells the following episodes, right? It's a case study. A man is throwing a get to his wife and they're in the cellar. All these wine barrels that are around. Now, this part's important, by the way. It's not clear in the Gemara, but in other words, the property belongs to her. You have to say that. Okay, we are going to learn together extensively later in the Masechta that he has to give the get to her in her hand. But we also know that the word hand over here of the Torah is not to be taken literally. It means basically into her rishus, into her property. So if he hands it to her, by the way, Minhag Yisrael is that you hand it to her and you do put in your hand, But it doesn't have to be in her hand. It could be in a rishus, and that would be fine. So if you put it into a chatzar verse, so that would be fine. So he threw it into her cellar. So it's her cellar. Okay, now, here's the problem. The problem is, Zarzak legal gita le devasar le benidane, ishtachech mezuzta. So, and now, we're trying to pick up the piece of paper. We're looking for it, we can't find it. We know he threw it into the cellar. Now, I'm a little bit unclear at this point in time. I'm just sharing with you my slight confusion over here. We had Eidei Mesira. The get was written in front of the Eidei Mesira. If, in fact, that's true, which we just learned together in today's daf, is a requirement, so then I'm not really sure why we're all confused in terms of, you know, where the paper is or what the paper is. Anyway, but still, I know the get was thrown to her, and her meaning into her cellar, amongst the barrels, and ishtakech mezuzta. And now, as we're going around, rummaging around, hey, let's get that piece of paper. We find a piece of paper. We pick it up, and lo and behold, what is it? It's not a get. It's a mezuzah. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Nachman mezuzah ben Daniel Oshchicha. So Rav Nachman says that's really weird. Normally, we don't find mezuzahs over there. And therefore, Rav Nachman's comment of we don't normally find mezuzahs over there, that means to say that, you know what he threw at her? He threw at her the mezuzah. Couldn't it be that the mezuzah is another piece of paper that was there in the cellar? And Rav Nachman's arguing, no. Because it's really strange. I wouldn't expect to find a mezuzah over there. V'hani mila, but the Gemara here qualifies. Yishtake chada, aval shtayim, shalosh, midaha havei hanami havei, v'gita emer shachbarim shaklua. Okay, but well, let's say we find not one mezuzah, but let's say we find in the cellar two or three mezuzahs. Okay, so you know what? I know the chances of there being a mezuzah over there are really low, but we found not one, but we found two mezuzahs. We found three. So that means to say that now we don't necessarily have to say that that piece of paper that he threw at her was a mezuzah. You know what? What he threw at her was a get. We can't find the get. Okay, I'll give you another explanation of where the get is. Right, it was taken by rats. It was taken by rodents. But in other words, what he threw at her is a get. So I admit, by the way, it's a bit of a difficult Gemara to untangle. In other words, it's a forensics Gemara. He threw something at her. We think it was a get. The problem is that we haven't found the physical evidence. And now we have to piece together the small pieces of evidence that we have in terms of was it a get or was it not a get. And now the confounding evidence is that I picked up one piece of paper and it turned out that it was a mezuzah. Okay, I know that I'm normally supposed to think that what he threw at her was a get. And again, there was Eidei Mesira, and I'm assuming they read it before he threw it at her. I have to assume that. We just learned that together. But I'm confounded by the fact that I picked up a piece of paper and it was a mezuzah. So how do I take all these pieces of information and put it together? So the Gemara says it depends whether he found one piece of paper or two or three pieces of paper. Okay, we continue. How gavra dalga lagabi kenishta v'shakos sefer Torah v'yayiv la l'devasayu amr lehagitech. Okay. Another really strange case in today's daf. We haven't even gone to our daf today, but we're almost there. So what he does is that he hands his wife a Sefer Torah, and he says, here's your get. Okay. So I'm Rav Yosef Lamai Lechishla. So Rav Yosef says, look, admittedly, this is definitely strange, but there's nothing to worry about here, meaning this is not a get. Simply not. Lamai Nechishla. So now what are you worried about? Maybe somewhere on the margins of the Sefer Torah, he actually wrote a get. I can't read it. I know. Maybe he wrote it with the May Milan ink, which blends in beautifully to the parchment of a Sefer Torah. Rashi over here, the last Rashi on the Amud, writes that their paper, their parchment that they used for Sefer Torah were treated, and they were treated with galnut, and so therefore, if the ink that was written in the margins of that Sefer Torah was gallnut ink, it would have blended in perfectly to the actual parchment of the Sefer Torah, and we wouldn't be able to read it. And the Gemara says, and exactly. Rav Yosef says exactly. And if I can't read it, that's not ksiva. That's nothing. Emilin agabe meimilin. So now, as we're on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, say, imishum krisus diisba habina v'kasav la, lishma v'leika. And the Gemara says, and what are you going to tell me? Okay. Don't look at the margins. Look at the actual Sefer Torah itself. Because, you know, included in the Sefer Torah, of course, is the Parsha of Gittin, right? In Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, beginning of Perich of Dalet, it writes the laws of a get. And can't you make the argument now that that's the get that the husband was making reference to? So the Gemara says, no, it can't. You can't make that argument. In other words, remember, the get has to be written l'shma. This is a Sefer Torah. Obviously, the Sefer Torah was written as a Sefer Torah, but not as a divorce document. V'chitim aleichus, and the Gemara says, well, maybe why don't we concern ourselves with the following? So maybe what he did is he paid the sofer. Look, I'm commissioning you to write a Sefer Torah. And also, by the way, when you get to the 24th chapter of Sefer Devarim, and you're about to write the Parsha of Gittin, have me in mind. Another way, right? Strange. Have me in mind. And what you're going to do now is you're going to write, when you're writing, you're obviously not changing a letter of the Sefer Torah, but when you're writing the Parsha of Gittin, you're now going to think, oh, this is going to represent the gerushin between this man and that woman.
Why do we think that text counts as a Sefer Krisus for Gittin?
Well, in a moment, your question is only going to be emphasized and reinforced. So it's the Havamina of the Gemara over here is a little bit difficult to understand. And I'm just going to read on in the Gemara because ultimately the Gemara is going to side with you and your point. V'chitem aleichus d'ma akdim v'yayv lezer zel safra. I read that already. No. V'chitem. I'll start it again. V'chitem aleichus d'ma akdim v'yayv lezer zel safra meikara. So habi'inan shmo. Rashi over here takes out the word shina. Tosos does as well. Anyway, shmo, shma, shem iro v'leika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because you have to write the names of the husband and the wife and the city in which the gerushin took place. This is information that will become clear to us at the end of the Masechta. I know, by the way, it's so funny. You have to wait till we get to Daf Pei, right? We're right now on page 20. So 2 months from now. So we're going to go over the Mishnah on Daf Pei.
Why did they mention the date?
The date is a Takana de Rabbanan. Right? And presumably, right, this seems to be, he happens to have a lengthy note on this particular topic. So, presumably the writing of the name is a Dinda Araisa. Okay. I think that's the right answer. Anyway, so Shmo Vishma Vishem Iro Vishem Iro Valeka. So you have to give this basic information, which obviously the sofer can't do when writing a Sefer Torah. He can't change a single letter of the Torah, obviously. So, Rav Yosef, Micah Marshmallow, Amy Milan, Agabe Amy Milan. So the Gemara says, okay, so, if a husband hands his wife a Sefer Torah and says, here's your get. So now, it is absolutely not going to be a get. Meaning, the ksav of the Parsha is not going to be a get. It can't be a get. As we just went over. So Rav Yosef, what was your chiddush? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what his chiddush was. I know we already said it yesterday and we're going to get to review it again today. And that is that if you're writing the get on the margins of the Sefer Torah, but with ink that is a perfect blend to the actual parchment itself, so I can't read it. So ain milan, agabe milan. So in other words, what we learned yesterday, we get to say again today. That's not ksiva, it's not a get. Period. Amar of Chista, we are continuing now, Chaf Amid Aleph. Amar of Chista, get shekasu shalol l'shma, ve'evri alav kumos l'shma. So let's say the following. Let's say the get was written first shalol l'shma. We already know the get's no good. It's no good. In other words, lishma is a fundamental requirement in the writing of a get. You must be writing it with the intent of this man is divorcing this woman. Okay, fine. So you write a template get, and I don't know. You choose very popular names, but you're not writing it for anybody. And then it happens to be that this guy now wants to divorce this woman. And now, can you do the following? The get was already written. Can you write over it again? Okay.
This time lishma.
And this time lishma. And is that going to work? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, I think it's a machlokas. Banal machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan d'Tanya, Harisha Yitzarach Lichtov, as Hashem Nischav Lichtov Yehuda, V'tav V'lo Hitov Odalet, Ma'avir Olav Komos, Umekacho, Div Rabbi Yehuda, V'chachamim Omrim, Ein Hashem Min Hamuvchar. So the Gemara quotes this brisa. We've seen this brisa before in Shas. We get to see it a couple times in Shas. It's a Gemara Shabbos. It's a Gemara here in Gittin, we're going to see it a couple times here in Gittin. The following transpire. The sofer is writing a Sefer Torah, and he needs to write Shem Hashem, which are the four letters of Yud, He, and Avav, and Ahe. Now, Sofer was, let's say, not thinking clearly. And instead of doing that, he said, he in his mind said, you know what, I'm going to write the word Yehuda. Okay? And in writing the word Yehuda, he leaves out the Dalet. So his intention was to write the name Yehuda. He ends up writing the letters Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, but not with the intention of writing Shem Hashem. Okay. I know that's strange, but the whole point is that Shem Hashem was written, but without the Lishma. When you write a Sefer Torah and you write Shem Hashem, you have to have the Kavana that you're writing Shem Hashem. Okay. Can I now trace over those letters in order to give it the Kavana? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and Chachamim say no. Oh. So ostensibly now what we're looking at is, exactly. We are asking the question, the get was written Shalal Lishma. Can he now trace over the letters with the Lishma intention, providing, instilling Lishma into the get? So that's the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, right? So, I'm Rav Acher by Yaakov Dimalawi, and the Gemara pushes back, not necessarily. Because here's what we can argue. We can argue that maybe even the Chachamim would say that you can infuse Lishma by tracing over the letters. Aye, what about the case of the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah? Maybe that's different. Because consider the following. Right? I'm looking at the Sefer Torah. That's a really, it's really funny Shem Hashem over there. It is darker than all the other letters. Now, we know the backstory. Meaning what happened was that the Sefer, when he wrote it, originally didn't have Shem Hashem in mind. So now what he did is that he put a second coating of ink on top of it. But now, as we zoom out and we look at the entire Sefer Torah, that Shem Hashem is, right, it's darker than everything else. And it's not even. And now, what are you lacking? You're lacking a nice symmetry, right? Where all the text is of the same shade, of the same grayscale. And I don't have that now. And Rashi describes it as being menumar. Now it's like a spotted Sefer Torah. It's not nice. And in order, when you're writing your Sefer Torah, when you're doing any mitzvah, ze keli vanveil, you got to make it look nice. Now over here, it sounds like from our Gemara that if you fail in Zekeli Vanveu, it sounds like what we're looking at over here is the psul. It disqualifies. Which is an extensive and lengthy discussion in terms of whether Zekeli Vanveu is just a hider, or is it something more than a hider? Is it create a psul? From our Gemara, it sounds like it creates a psul. Anyway. Okay, good. Adkan. It takes us to the end of the discussions of the Gemara regarding Lishma. Right, a number of funny cases that we discussed. A halacha that we discussed earlier this morning regarding the reading of the get before given to her. Okay, we are continuing in the Gemara one, Chaf Amud Aleph, and we're about a third of the way down. So Rav Chissa says, I could possibly every get in the world. Now it is a striking comment, obviously. In other words, right, in other words, you don't want to possibly every get in the world. In fact, once the get is being given, what you want is that you want the get to be a good get. You want it to move on with the life. You don't want it to be an aguna. It is a little bit strange what Rav Chista, though Rav Chista is obviously making a point, and that is that there are certain halachic requirements which seem to be missing, and the Gemara says they're not missing. But but the way he's saying it is a little bit strange because it goes against what we want. When a woman receives a get, what we want is the get to be a good get. We've been saying that since day one of the Masechta. Right? We don't want her to be an aguna. So I understand that his presentation over here, Rav Chissa's presentation, sounds a little bit strange. But what he's really highlighting is that I think there are some basic problems with the get. Like, for example, Amalei Rava my time, Ilema Mishum Dechsi V'chasav V'hacha I Kakasvalei. So the Gemara says, okay. Rav is trying to understand Rav Chista. What's the problem? Number one, maybe I know what the problem is, and that is commissioning of the writing of the get. Who needs to write the get? Well, v'chasav, so he writes it. In other words, it's b'lashon zachar, and he's going to write it, and he's going to give it. Now, the husband, most of the time, is incapable of writing the get, so what he's going to do is he's going to commission the sofer. I mean commission the sofer. I really mean pay for the sofer. Okay? So, and what's the problem? The problem is that that's not the minhag. The minhag is that the women pay for the sofer. Now, that is a funny minhag, but as Rashi points out over here, we're going to learn together later in the Masechta. Do you know why the woman pays for the sofer? because if it's for the husband now, who's going to be required to pay for the sofer, so that's going to be another impediment in the writing of the get, and we don't want impediments.
But isn't that his money anyway? Isn't the husband's money anyway, even though the woman you're giving it?
It's not a bad point. The Gemara is assuming that she does have money that is hers. Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. Right? Okay. I'm going to think a little bit more about what you...
She doesn't have to ask for permission to use the money.
Right? Let's call it her money. Let's call it her money, but your point is still well taken. So the Gemara says, and so now she's paying. So Vidilma Aknui Akne Le Rabbanan. So Rava says to Rav Chista, yeah, but I don't care. Meaning that even if she's paying the money, what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim created a transfer of that money. Rashi over here invokes the rule of Hefker based on Hefker. The Chachamim have the ability to take anybody's money and transfer it from you to somebody else. They have that ability, right? When we talk about Purzbol, so we invoke the rules of Hefker based on Hefker. And over here, right? It's so interesting that Rashi over here has to use that rule in this context. But Rashi does. So Hefker based on Hefker tells us that even though she's paying, but what the Chachamim did is they said, okay, we're taking that money, we're transferring over to him in order to satisfy the requirement that he's commissioning the writing of the get.
It's also the first time we've introduced Bezdin into the process.
Yeah, right. If Rashi didn't say it, I'm not sure if I would have used those words, but obviously I'm comfortable because Rashi used it, but it definitely is striking. So, Ela Mishim Dechsev. Okay, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand Rav Chista. Rav Chista said there's a gaping hole in the get process. So we're trying to understand what Rav Chista meant. So maybe it has to do with the commissioning of the get. The Gemara says, no, that's not the problem. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Mishum Dechsiv, Ve'ela Mishum Dechsiv, V'nasan, V'hachalo Yavli Midi. So the Gemara says, maybe the Torah says V'nasan. You know, every single time the Torah says Nesina, you have to be giving something over significant, of actual monetary value. What is he giving her right now? The answer right now is a piece of paper. Is the piece of paper worth anything? I mean, it's worth something, but it's not of any real significant value. And since it doesn't have significant value, maybe that's a failure of the get. Gemara says, of course that's not a failure of the get. So Dilma Nesina's geti. The Gemara says, no. In other words, when the Torah says Venasan, the Torah is over here describing what is he giving her, not something that needs monetary value, but what he's giving her is the get. Meaning the Torah's description over here of the giving, the Nesina, is actually on the abstract get that he is giving her. That severance, even though it's not a material item, is nevertheless what the Torah is describing. Oh, okay, fine. So, Teda, Deshach Mitam Kaswa Al Isuri Na Kasher. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you, you could be writing the get in Isuri Na, Hana, right? If something is Asur Ba'ana, so you're not allowed to get benefit from it, it has zero value to you. And meanwhile, you write the get on that item, and you hand it over to her. So now it's a get. So clearly over here, the get does not have to be on anything that has monetary value. In fact, it can even be Asur Ba'ana. And still the get's going to be a good get. Gufa Shachem Mitam, the Gemara says, I'm going to go over this point again. Kasval Yisurina, Kasher, Kasher, Amar Avashi, Afanam, Namitanina, Al Ha'ale Shel Zayis. Let's go back to the mission of yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we learned that you could write on anything. You could write the get even on a leaf, on an olive leaf, and that would be good. So the Gemara says, Demoshani Ale Shel Zayis, Li Chazi Li Tzterufe. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not a compelling proof. I'm not telling you you're wrong, but the proof is not a compelling proof because Alish Ozayit, meaning you're telling me it's less than a pruta. I may be less than a pruta. You're right, but it has some value. And what you could do is you could take an olive leaf and add it to another olive leaf and chaze li'itz derufe. In other words, it can aggregate to the point where it does have value. Isuri hana'a, there is no aggregating isuri hana'a. Isuri hana'a has zero value. Zero plus zero is always going to be zero. Tanya Rabbi Omer Kasol Yisuri Ana Kasher Nafik Vidarsha Mishmei De Rabbi Velo Kalsua Mishmei De Rabbi Vekasu Ama Hilchasa Kavase. So Rebbe says that if you write your get on Isuri and it's going to be kosher. And now what happens was, is that Nafak Levi, I missed that important word. Nafak Levi, Levi goes out and he's expounding and he's teaching people. Now, at first he quotes Rebbe because that's what you're supposed to do. When you hear the halacha from a Tana or from anybody, and that's the accepted halacha, so you're supposed to say B'Shem Amro. Good. And that's what he does. However, it wasn't as widely as accepted because he wasn't saying this as a popular viewpoint, as a Shitas Rabbin. So then what he did is that he marketed the halacha better. And I know it's a funny thing what I'm just describing over here, the marketing of halacha. Meaning say it over so that people will receive it better. But this is the accepted halacha, and that's what Levi did. Levi then, instead of saying it B'Shem Rebbe, he said it now B'Shem Rabbim, and people now accepted it. Okay, fine. And so sometimes, I know it sounds funny, but halacha needs to be marketed well. Okay. Now, Tana Rabban V'Kasa V'lo Chakak. Okay. From here, and we'll do a little bit of this today, and then we'll... I'm not sure if we're going to finish today's stop, but let's start off this discussion. Okay, the writing of the letter. So the writing of the letter, so let's say nice and simple. Okay, usually when you write letters, so what you're going to do is that you're going to start off with a piece of paper and you're going to take ink and with some sort of writing implement, you're going to press that ink onto the paper. Okay, good. Nice and simple the way we're describing writing. And obviously now the letters are being created, they're being formed by the ink that I'm applying to the paper. But as we all know, that's not the only way that you can write. You can also carve the letters out. Now, obviously, a piece of paper would not be the best background to carving letters. But let's say you had a block of wood or anything that was hard. And so what you're going to do now is that you're going to carve the letters out. That's another way of writing. Okay. What we're going to have now in the Gemara is a discussion in terms of when you're carving letters. Now, the letters that you're carving can either be a depression, or what you could do is that you can raise the letters, okay? Like the minting of a coin, for example. So, in both of those, so that is you're forming letters, but we're now going to be spending time in today's daf learning that sometimes the letters qualify halachically as a letter, and sometimes they do not. Let's explain. Let's see the Gemara together inside. So Vikasa Velochakak. So over here we are darshaning that it must be a ksiva and it cannot be a chakika. You cannot be carving the letters out. Now I just said that you can, because you know my story. I prepared. Right? I read ahead. But right now the Gemara is saying you can't. So Lamemra de Chakika La Ksiva hi viriminu. So Evashiyatsa Biksava Gabi Tavla. U Pinkas. So let's say that as far as the Evid Kanani is concerned, so he was written a Shtar Shechor, a letter of emancipation, and it was written on a tablet or on some sort of ledger. So Yatsa Lechero, so he gets to go free. Avalo Biksav Agabi Kipa. And a duchtare. However, if it's embroidered, so he does not go free. So, okay. And now as far as the embroiderment is concerned, it is embroidered in woven into the fabric. Okay. If I think what I'm giving is a good comparable, I hope I'm right. I'm not sure. Remember back in the days when they used to knit kippahs? Mm-hmm. And they used to knit like names into the kippahs. Mm-hmm. Okay, go back to my high school days. So right, so I don't know where they are now. You don't. I'm not going to be able to find them. But anyway, but they the kippahs with the names knitted into the kippahs. So over there, that's not going to qualify. In other words, that's not ksiva, right? Because ksiva has to be where you are. In other words, you have a background and you're making the letters into the background. But if you're embroidering the wording into it, so that's no good. That doesn't qualify as ksiva. Okay, fine. But, and put that aside because...
But embroidery is different than knitting the kippah.
Okay, fine. I was going to say, I'm not sure if my comparison
embroidery
is good.
Embroidery actually goes on top. It's embroidered on top of the
Okay, kippah. Right. So that's why I'm not sure. Okay, but I want to leave the embroidery because I'm not sure, but I do want to go to the carving out because that's what we're focusing on. In other words, in the Brisa, we just learned together that if you write the Get Shichur for your Evi Kanani and you are carving it into a ledger or into a tablet, it's good. It is absolutely good. So I don't understand, meaning we started off by saying that it has to be Ksiva Velo Chakika. Chakika seems to be fine. So Amar Lula, Amar Rebbe Lazar Lokasha, Ha Dechak Tochos, Ha Dechak Yerechos. And here we get to a fundamental point regarding carving. And that is that if I carve the letters, so then that's good. If I'm carving around the letters, and the letters now just simply are formed because I'm carving around, so that's no good. Right? Rashi Chak Tochos. I'm reading. Shel Osios Vitzidem Vaosios Boltos Enuksav. Lefish Lotzir Esa Osios Elachak Sevivo Seem Vehaetz Nishar Kemosha Yabitfosa Osios Me Aleha. Chak Tochos is basically what I do is that I carve around. And now the letters are formed. That is not an active writing of a letter. And therefore it's no good. Chak Yerechos, next Rashi, Shal Osios Dahainu. Hein Mamashishika Haksav Zu Hiksiva. If, however, I am carving the letters themselves, forming the letters by carving the letters themselves, so that is going to work. Okay. So Tochos Lov Veriminu, the Gemara says, okay, I are you sure about that? So Lo Haksavo Shokea Elabole Kidinari Zav. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to talk about the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Let's speak over here about the tzitz. So as far as the tzitz is concerned, so you know the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol, so it was gold. It was gold plate. And what they did is that they wrote the names. They wrote the words Kodesh LaHashem. Discussion in terms of how exactly the wording is written onto the tzitz, but we don't have to worry about that. We're now talking just simply about the imprint of how exactly those letters are going to be imprinted on the golden plate of the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. And the Braisa says, Lo yiksovo shokea ela bolei ki dinari zahav. Okay, what happens now is that the letters, obviously over here, if I had the plate itself, it'd be much easier to say. But in other words, but the letters are not imprinted, they're not depressed, but rather the letters are coming out. You know what it's like, says the Braisa? It's like a minted coin. Ah, ki dinari zahav. So it's like a minted coin. Okay, so here, I don't have any coins in my pocket right now, but everyone here can easily imagine that if I take out a coin right now, so the minting of a coin, so what do I have? I have the letters all coming out, not depressed, but not recessed, but rather coming out. And that's how we're making the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. Now, here's the problem. When I mint a coin, what do I do? So what I do is I'm putting a lot of pressure on the area around the letters, and I'm really what I'm doing is I'm depressing the area around, and so the letters are coming out on their own. And that, as we just learned together, that is not ksiva. So the Gemara is bothered. You just described the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and it has to be done in a ksiva process. Meanwhile, you said, you know what it's like? It's like the minting of a coin. The minting of a coin is not correct letter writing. That is not halachically acceptable letter writing. So the Gemara says, Ki dinari zarav velo ki dinari zarav. Ki dinari zarav de bole, velo ki dinari zarav de lohasam, tochos, en hacha yerechos. So the Gemara says, okay. When the Braisa described the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, it was using a coin just so that we have the right image. Meaning the letters do come out. But in terms of how the letters are produced, this is where we're gonna digress. The coin is minted and the letters are not actually being formed. The letters are formed by the depression of the area surrounding. That's no good. When it comes to the tzitz, so what happens is that we turn the metal around and we bang out the letters. And that's good.
How do we know the tzitz is ksiva?
So that is an excellent question. Rashi. That is an excellent question, but I remember the Rashi. I thought I remember the Rashi.
Is pasuk?
There is, here it is. Okay, I found it. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Rashi is the first wide line. Okay, so the Torah does describe that the tzitz has to be mechtav. Okay, your question is excellent. My answer hopefully was good. All right, next. Okay. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi. Rushma. So in terms of the minting of a coin. So Michrat Scharitz O Kinufi Michnef. So the Gemara says, so when we're talking about the minting of a coin. So I'm applying pressure. Right? In other words, we're talking about the good old minting. So I'm applying pressure. So is it now that basically all I'm doing is depressing the surrounding area and the letters therefore are formed but not written? Alternatively, no. Maybe that what that pressure does is that the pressure actually is pushing the letters up. So Amalei Michras Charetz. So the Gemara says in terms of minting, you know how minting works? All it does is it creates a depression, which means that it is not halachically writing. Esve, the Gemara says, Lo hayaksav v'shokei ala bolei kedinari zahav, isa gadacha mecharetz charetz. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to the tzitz. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a rerun because we just did this, but the Gemara is going to do it again. So habi inan michtav v'leka. Okay. David, not only is it Rashi, it's the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. Okay, good. I should have known that. Anyway, kedinari zahav v'lo kedinari zahav. And once again, even though we're comparing the tzitz to a coin, to a minted coin, again, it's not a full comparison. It's just a comparison so that we can have a proper image. Meaning when you and I think about the tzitz, we should think about a coin. Just like the letters of the coin are bolate, they're protruding, so too the letters of the tzitz are protruding. In terms of how the letters are formed, okay, now this is going to be different. In other words, it's not like a minted coin. A minted coin, we're just simply depressing the surrounding area and the letters just simply now are formed. But that's not with the tzitz. With the tzitz, where there's a requirement to ksiva, so we're basically going to take the gold plate and turn it around and bang the letters out.
The writing's actually done backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Correct.
It still counts as ksiva.
Right. I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with your observation. So I don't know if I read this. Anyway, I'm just going to read it again. So kedinari zav velo kedinari zav kedinari zav debole velo kedinari zav de ilohasam migavai hacha me avrai. Okay. By me, Rav Amir Rav Nachman Kasavla, get al tas shel zahav. Okay, well, you know what? I see the time. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, and then tomorrow we'll talk about a golden get.
Okay, golden parachute.
I know. The golden parachute will come up tomorrow. Okay, good. All right, let's quickly review. We went over we finished up your test this beginning of this morning, in which we started with the halach of Shmuel, and that is that it's a transparent get. It's a really funny start to today's daf. But anyway, transparent get, right? The hands are a blank piece of paper. But what we do afterwards is that we treat the paper afterwards, and it turns out there was writing on the paper. Shmuel says the get's going to be a good get. I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe the letter was not there. We're trying to make an argument that just like there was lettering that became evident afterwards, maybe the lettering was there when he presented her. We're not sure. The Gemara says, you're right. Even Shmuel said, chayshinan. We're worried, in fact, that's going to be a good get. We went over the halacha today on that the Eid in Mesira must be reading the get prior to the giving over of the get. So the Eid and Mesira have to do basically a simple due diligence. It's not that comprehensive. You just simply have to read the get prior to the giving over of the get. With a little bit of concern on the part of the Gemara of like some monkey business done by the husband right before he gives it to her, but the Gemara says no. In other words, you can assume once the Eid and Mesira read the get and he gives it to her, the get in fact is going to be a good get. A funny discussion at the beginning of Chaf Amud Aleph, and that is that what if he hands her a Sefer Torah and says, this is your get? It's not going to be a good get. Now, the Gemara says, not for a moment should you entertain the possibility that the actual Parsha of Gerushin would represent the get, because that's not true. It doesn't have the most basic information of his name and her name. And obviously you can't put that into the parsha of the Sefer Torah. It's not going to be a good get. Maybe in the margins, the get was written using same colored ink as the parchment itself. The Gemara says, we learned this already, but we get to repeat it. And that is milin agabe milin is nothing. In other words, that does not constitute ksiva and therefore will not be good. What if the get is lacking in lishma? We're going now to a regular get lacking lishma. Can you trace over the letters and infuse lishma afterwards? Gemara thinks it's a machlokas tanaim. The Gemara is not sure about that. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we went over the idea of not just writing letters using ink, but carving letters out. Is that going to be good? The answer is yes. The trickier discussion of the Gemara is that what if the letters are protruding? Is that an act of ksiva? And the Gemara says it depends. In other words, if all I'm doing is depressing the surrounding area and the letters are formed, but you're not making the letters, that's not ksiva. And that doesn't qualify as ksiva. And the Gemara goes over a couple times in today's daf that it sits. Letters are protruding. It's a golden plate. And the letters are protruding. It's just like a minted coin. The Gemara says, yes, it's like a minted coin in terms of how we should imagine the tzitz. And hopefully one day we don't have to imagine it. We'll see it. But in terms of the formation of the tzitz, it's not like a minted coin. A minted coin is not ksiva. A minted coin, you are just simply depressing the surrounding area, and the image is bolet me'elav. However, when it comes to the tzitz, you actually turn it around, and you're banging the letters out. Adkan. Sure.